Welcome to A Church Podcast, talking all things ministry. I'm your host, Chris Wesley, joined by John Rinaldo. John, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good because it's May, and May is a great month because May is my birthday month. And we don't celebrate birthdays just on one day, but we celebrate all month long.
But that doesn't make sense. You're not a millennial. How are you celebrating the whole month of May? No, I'm just kidding.
Are you judging my age right now? How old do you think I am?
I am judging you because I think you're 50 and you're acting like a 25-year-old. No, I'm just joking with you. But
there's a lot of stereotypes that just came out in that introduction.
No. Well, it's because I'm in a little bit of an irritable mood, and John knows that. But hey. On behalf of the church podcast and all of our listeners and everyone who cares, happy birthday, John, this month.
I think you should apologize to millennials and Gen Xers because you, I think, insulted both of them somehow in that introduction.
Well, since I was born in 1980, and like there are so many studies that put us in both groups, those of us who were born at the turn of that decade, I'm speaking for both parties. So no, I'm just going to stop it.
I'll allow that.
All right. But so what day is your actual birthday? So
that May 21st.
May 21st. That's great. May is a great month. I mean, you know, you've got National Star Wars Day with May 4th. May the 4th be with you. You've got Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. For me, I am a huge horse racing fan. So we've got the Kentucky Derby, we've got the Preakness. I mean, unfortunately, the Belmont is in June, but you know, we've got some good stuff happening. Baseball is in full swing. Playoff hockey still going on. NBA playoffs still going on.
They find a way to stretch out the sports season longer and longer each year.
Well, I'm just waiting for like game 7 of the NHL playoffs to end on 4th of July weekend, you know, like, or that little gap when the All-Star break is. I mean, if they were going to do that, then that wouldn't be so bad. You know, it would take care of like the most boring day in sports, which is the day after the All-Stars game, where I think nothing significant is happening at that time.
Yeah.
So,
I have to say, you know who else's birthday is in May this year?
Whose?
The church.
The church? Just this year? The birthday is just
this year? Well, you know, it depends on when Easter falls, right? So this year, true. Pentecost is in May.
That's true.
So therefore, the birthday of the church is also in May. So I am in good company celebrating my birthday in May.
Man, I just got Jesus juked by you. I just got Jesus juked. You know whose birthday it is this year in May? Well, every year, right? No, this is the church. All right.
It can't fall on the same day each year.
So anyway, why is Chris in such a pissy mood? People might be wondering.
I am wondering. Tell me why.
It's because this morning I put on my jerk pants and, you know, I like wanted to be a jerk. No,
is there such a thing? Jerk pants?
I'm actually just prepping people for the thing that we're talking about. And I think this is one of the most difficult subjects to approach, which I know why. And then there's times where I don't know why. And it comes to volunteers. And it's not just volunteers, but how to fire volunteers. And I know we've talked about recruiting volunteers, gaining volunteers. We've talked about nurturing in them and loving them. But what do you do about those volunteers that just drive you nuts? Now, before we get into the 5 steps to fire someone, which it's not that smooth, right, John? I mean, it's definitely not that smooth. How do you think we get to those points where we have a volunteer where we're just like, this isn't working out?
Well, I think there's a few things. One, many times it's on us. Have we trained them well? Have we taken the time to really get to know them to see if they would be a good fit in our ministry first, as opposed to just rushing them on board? And probably the big one is that we are super afraid of conflict.
And we
avoid it like the plague, and firing a volunteer or even talking about a volunteer's performance. This is true actually for staff as well, if you supervise staff, but talking about that topic is not fun.
Right.
And we don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? Because we're people pleasers. And so I think there's a lot of reasons why we don't delve into this.
Yeah, and I think those are all great reasons, but I actually think there's one that comes right before any of those, and that's because we don't do a good job of finding the right people for our ministry. You know, and so I think the biggest way, the best way to avoid ever firing a volunteer is to make sure you hire the right people, that you onboard the right people. Now, that's not to say that you'll never fire someone, because other things can pop up, all those reasons that John mentioned. But if you want to like eliminate, I think the number one reason why we find ourselves in that situation is because we end up recruiting the wrong people, and we recruit out of desperation. Mm. We say, hey, that guy is breathing. He's standing on 2 feet. Let's make him a volunteer. Or, you know what? We need volunteers. Someone raises their hand and we're like, great, you're on board. Without any interviews, without any screening. I mean, we do the child protection background screening, but that doesn't tell you if this person's a jerk or not, right? Or if this person's quality or not. It just tells you if they're safe or if they've ever committed a crime. So I think we, you know, need to go all the way back and look at the fact that never recruit or hire out of desperation. And again, for more on that, I think you guys can go back on past podcast episodes, especially when we talk about hiring, not just with staff, but, you know, with volunteers. I think that's true. Just take your time, be slow to hire so you can be quick to fire.
Yeah, we've certainly talked about that. You know, another way to avoid ever having to fire a volunteer is to just not have volunteers at all.
I mean, right.
Just not use them at all.
Which, let's face it, probably most of our youth ministers who are listening, another group I'm alienating, don't have that problem. No, I'm just kidding.
But, you are feisty today, aren't you? Wow.
I am.
On behalf of the church podcast, I apologize for Chris's behavior today.
And thank you for joining us for our last episode of the Church Podcast. No, all right. But in all seriousness, I know this is something, you know, actually, though, to that point of a lot of people don't have volunteers, I think it's because they have this like bad reaction of when they do get a volunteer who should be let go, who shouldn't be on the team anymore. It really creates this situation that's painful. And so they don't want to recruit any more volunteers because they don't know how to get rid of the bad ones. Or they're embarrassed by that. Like, have you ever been in that situation before where you have someone on your team and you kind of feel guilty about the idea of firing them, but then again, you feel guilty about bringing anyone on because you're like, I don't want to expose you to Mary Lou or John or, you know, this volunteer who I'm a little ashamed is a part of my team, you know? I guess, have you ever been in that situation or is that just me, John?
You know, there's definitely been volunteers. I'm just like, but I also know that I need more volunteers. So I bring more people on board. So, you know, okay. So it hasn't stopped me, but I do understand that feeling completely.
Right. So anyway, Let's talk about how we hit that feeling, right? That something's not right. Hmm. What in your mind is the best, what are some signs that you need to address the situation with this volunteer? Like, it might not necessarily be a firing, but it's gotten to that point where something has to happen.
Oh, I mean, I think there's lots of different signs that we need to take a look at. You know, I mean, obviously, if they're not showing up when they said they were going to show up, if they're not following through on whatever tasks that they've been asked to do that, if you find that they're having inappropriate interactions with people, you know, and I don't mean like off the board inappropriate, but I mean, right. Really on that verge of saying inappropriate things or just, you know, whatever awkwardness kind of comes from that, you know. And I think part of it too is it's a feeling as well too. So it's part of it is like watching and observing, and part of it is like this feeling. It's like, oh, you know, when you get this gut feeling in your or wrenching feeling in your gut, you're like, that means that is the Holy Spirit saying you might need to do something here a little bit, you know?
Right, and I think you bring up an excellent point. One with the fact that what we're going to talk about is if someone does something immoral or illegal, this is like kind of a different sort of subject. That immediately you have to go to your pastor and you have to go to the diocesan representative. You have to go to the local authorities, whatever your guidelines say, you've got to abide by this. This is like a volunteer who's just not like panning out. And like John said, inappropriate behavior might just be, maybe they're a Debbie Downer like myself right now, or maybe they're, you know, showing up late or something like that. So this isn't illegal or immoral. This is more of just culturally they're not fitting in. And then the point that you brought up too, of like, this is where you got to trust your gut. You know, the Holy Spirit's stirring something inside, and it's a time where you need to address it with that person. So for me, I'm a firm believer of before you even get to that conversation, it's a matter of saying, asking the question, you know, what's the story beneath the story? Because I think there can be three things that are happening. One, like us as leaders have to adjust our leadership style, because I think you mentioned this before, right? Am I just mismanaging? Am I not training this person enough? What's going on? The second situation is, you know, is this person like dealing with something going on in their life that, you know, maybe they need to take a sabbatical, maybe they need to take a step back. And then the third thing is, maybe this person's just not in the right ministry or in the right position. And so instead of letting someone go, we move that person into a better situation. And that's where I'm a firm believer. Before we even get into like letting them go and how we let them go, it's a question of what's the story beneath the story.
So how do you find out the story beneath the story? What are some strategies, Chris, that you go into to make sure that you are getting the entire picture of the reality of what's happening with that volunteer?
All right. So, first it's bounce it off my core team. I think this is something that you should never go into alone. And this isn't a matter of gossip. It's not like you just pull another volunteer aside and say like, hey, what's up with Susie? You know, she seems a little off or something like that. But I think it's talking to either a coworker, if you don't have a core leadership team, or your pastor, or even if you do have a core leadership team, sitting down and just saying like, all right, this is what I've been observing and I need your guys' feedback. Am I doing something that you guys are seeing that's wrong, or is what I'm observing consistent? Because you want that kind of accountability and that outside perspective. So I think that's like the first step to figuring out the story. And so let's just say they say like, no, Chris, you've seen a little off. You could give him or her a little bit more attention. Then that's where you need to make the adjustment. But let's say that they agree with you and they say that there's something going on, that there's something not right. That's where you want to sit down with that volunteer one-on-one, not one-on-one, but like two-on-one, like bring another person in and just say like, hey, you know, we want to sit down and talk with you because we've noticed recently that, and I think you got to address the issue. Like, you know, if they're showing up late, we've noticed that you've just been showing up late a lot recently. Or, you know, the other day you were leading a group of kids and it appeared to us that you seemed a little irritated. And we just want to know how are things going? Is life going well? And let them respond to that, because you might find, again, the story that's beneath the story is that maybe they're having marital stress. Maybe that they're dealing with something with their kids. Maybe they're dealing with something at work and they're just bringing that into ministry. It's in those situations where then you can act pastoral and either give them a little bit of a break, just give them some TLC that they're not getting anywhere else, offer them resources that could help them in that situation. But then if they get into the situation where they're just like, no, everything seems to be fine, that's when you have to start thinking about the different steps that you need to take. How about you? Like, what are situations that, how do you get beneath the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good strategy. I would say that probably there are some people who would listen to what you just said and kind of recoil away from wanting to do that because,
okay.
And I think it's a natural reaction because the reality is, okay, I'm going to sit down and like, there's this air of like drama with this media. It's like, I'm going to sit down with you and there's something wrong. Are you okay? Right. You know, and we need to have those conversations. That's good. But part of the challenge, why we make this so difficult on ourselves is because we're actually not in a habit of sitting down with our volunteers on a regular basis anyway. Right. So if this is a one-off sitting down, okay, their behavior is not good, so I need to sit down and have the conversation with them. Well, then there's a red flag for everybody, for the volunteer, for you, for whoever, you know, that's going to make this kind of like a nervous conversation because this meeting is out of the ordinary.
Right.
So part of kind of backing up too then is how do we make these meetings a more regular part of what you do as a ministry leader? Are you checking in? Are you interacting with your volunteers on a regular basis?
Right.
Because if you are, One, if you have to have this particular meeting, it's going to be less awkward because you have that relationship and have that norm of meeting one-on-one or two-on-one. And we'll talk about that in a second. So I think that's one strategy. But two, you're already going to have some of this information, presumably, because you're interacting with folks on a regular basis. And I think we should talk about, not today, but future podcasts, talk about this idea of regular one-on-ones with our volunteers, but also from a staff perspective, you supervise staff, we should be doing regular one-on-ones. Okay, that's a separate podcast, but I'm throwing that out there into the ether, and something will come of it, I'm sure, in the future.
But I do want to emphasize that point, because I think you're right. Like, a lot of these situations, and we alluded to this before, a lot of these situations could be avoided if we do our due diligence at the front end. With the hiring process, if you have a regular review process, conversations are more difficult when there's been that gap in communication, that void in communication. So even, you know, when you get to this point of addressing a concern and even firing a volunteer, you want to avoid gaps in communication.
Yeah. Oh, I love that a lot. I absolutely agree with you on that. And then the two-on-one, like, I kind of get where you're going with that in terms of you and another core team member, maybe, or another staff member meeting down with a volunteer. But if you're talking with adults, then that is super intimidating for that volunteer, because now I feel like it can be, right? If it's, it depends on how it's set up, I'm being attacked, right? You know, this is now, I'm putting myself in their brain. I'm being attacked now by two individuals, not just by one. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more of your reasoning why two versus one. I mean, I have my own ideas, but I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, and let me kind of backstep on that a little bit, because I think you raise a good point. If your initial gut feeling is that this isn't something serious, one-on-one is totally fine. But the reason why I advocate for two-on-one is because, God forbid, the conversation gets out of hand, you need a neutral party there to back you up. And granted, it's not an employer-employee, like a paid position where major legal ramifications can happen. But it is one of those things where, you know, especially if you're meeting with someone of the opposite sex, you don't want things to be misinterpreted. You want something to, you need another person there who's going to serve as kind of a neutral party and almost act as a translator. Because actually, and this is something that I learned recently, I was listening to a podcast, the Entree Leadership Podcast. Joseph Grenny was being interviewed, and the topic that he talks about there is how to have these hard talks. And one of the things that he points out in the podcast, which I thought was brilliant, was there's like three phases to it: emotions, facts, and story, right? And so many times when we address and have these hard talks, we always lead with emotion, or that's the tendency, right? Like, because we're upset, we're frustrated, we're sad, and that's what we lead with. But all that's going to do is set up this defense mechanism of the other person. They're going to get defensive, they're going to push back. Where if you can come in with neutral emotions and lead with facts, like, hey, I noticed that you were coming in late. Story, which is kind of like, you know, again, what's the story behind the process? And then, you know, later with emotion of like, it's been frustrating me. Like, then you can diffuse some of those emotions that are taking place. And that's whether you're on the leader end or the receiving end of those hard conversations, is try to like present facts, story, and then emotion in that. And so another person can help kind of, again, who's not emotionally attached to the situation, can kind of, again, present those facts, have more of an appropriate conversation so that you can address the issue at hand.
I mean, sounds good to me. Like, I just think it depends on the situation. But I think there are situations where you do need another person. Depends on how severe it might be or whatnot. But I think in some cases it could be taken wrongly too. So I just think we need to be sensitive to this idea of having another person there. You know, some of the ways that you can mitigate things like the opposite sex or other things is do it in a public but private setting, you know, where it is a, you know, open door kind of conversation. It's happening kind of in public, but it's still a one-on-one conversation. Like, those are some strategies you can do down in the courtyard of your church or just in your office with the door open.
Like Jerry Maguire.
Or even at a Starbucks, you know, is a way of doing that. And plus, you know, you get me a hot chocolate, then that immediately smooths me over and makes me feel much more relaxed if I have a hot chocolate in my hand. So.
There's a point in that too where I would say be careful too. Don't like, all right, this is getting more into the dialogue of letting the person go or addressing the situation at hand. You know, there's the strategy of compliment. Bookend a criticism with two compliments. Like, you want to be careful with that, where you don't confuse the nature of the severity of the conversation. And you want to address it. But I think, again, too, like, you want two people, like, it might be a gut call. It really depends on the relationship you have. Yeah. If it's someone who's been serving in your ministry for 20 years, you know, you might just want to go one-on-one if you have that personal relationship with them. But if it's someone where you're just kind of like, again, you're concerned about how they're going to react or how you're going to react, having that second person there is going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, going back to the gut check, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to hear what people's thoughts are on this, but going back to the gut check, if you're afraid of how that other person is going to react or how you yourself is going to react, definitely get help. But if you feel like, you know what, I've known John for a number of years, this is an easy conversation we can have, one-on-one is more than appropriate. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I agree, because again, right. I think there are times that both will work. It just depends on the situation.
So. Cool. So let's talk about the conversation, right? And I kind of mentioned this before. You want to make sure that you're upfront with the situation. Like, don't say like, hey, John, we love you here. You've been doing a great job. We're so glad that you are serving as an usher. You know, you show up on time, but we noticed that you just have a stink face. You know, it's like, that doesn't, like, not that you would fire a volunteer because they have a stink face, but like,
what does a stink face look like? We should do a video post of this.
Right. Actually, maybe we can come up with a competition, best stink face. We'll win a copy of my books, Rebuilding Confirmation.
There you go.
Actually, let's pause right there. So anyone who's listening, send us your best stink face to questions@thechurchpodcast.org by the end of John's birthday month. So June 1st, 2018. And email those in, and we will then award the stink face award to one of our listeners, and we'll post it on our website, and you'll receive a free copy of my books, Rebuilding Youth Ministry and Rebuilding Confirmation. There you go. All right. Anyway, back to the podcast.
We don't plan these things. These things just come out of nowhere. So here we are having a stink face competition on the Church Podcast.
Well, and we record these a little bit in advance too. So I'm sure I'm going to forget. And then when John re-listens to him, he's like, oh my gosh, we have a competition. Don't forget to do this. Like, so anyway, no, but let's say you're having the conversation. Don't, like, not that you want to be cruel and just say like, hey, you've been doing a poor job, we're going to need to let you go. Like, but then again, at the same time, don't like, fluff them up and then knock them down so that they're unexpected, because both of those are recipes for emotional reactions that will then just totally hurt the conversation that you guys are having. So what you need to do is you can ask them, hey, how are you doing? Let them respond and just say like, I don't know if you know why we're bringing you in here, but we just wanted to check in on you because we've noticed this, and this, or maybe it's just one thing, but like, list out what you've noticed. And then again, go to the fact of that you care, and just say, we're asking this because we care, and we just want to know, you know, if this is something that you're aware of, or that you've noticed yourself. And let them react, and then that's where you just need to listen. You might have a couple of responses that you're ready to say, but delay on them as much as possible, because you want to listen to their story. Because if they're running late and it's because their kid's schedule has changed, or they're running late because they have a really bad car, that's where you got to decide then, how am I going to show them compassion? How am I going to react to that? So I think that's the first thing is, ask them how they're doing, but then list out the reason why you're there. Just get to the point, you know, and be as clear as possible.
Yeah. Concise, being concise is super important. And that whole, you talked about the idea of sandwiching a criticism with compliments is a terrible idea, you know, and it confuses the issue. And the reality is that no one's going to remember your two compliments when it's sandwiched around a criticism. Everyone remembers a criticism. So let's just get down to it and really be honest about it and provide that feedback. And again, this stuff becomes a little bit easier if you have a habit and a relationship of talking about quote unquote performance, right? And giving people feedback, giving your volunteers feedback about what's going well, what's going not. You know, and honestly, just to back up, one of the best ways to do that is as after you have whatever event it is where you're using volunteers is have an evaluation meeting on it, right?
Right.
And not only are you evaluating the actual event, but you're evaluating quote unquote performance again, you know, and again, you build it into the culture, it becomes less of a big issue. So.
Right. Right. And well, and going back, with the evaluations, what you can then do is just say, this is the third incident. This is the fourth incident, whatever your like three strike or threshold is. But, if this is your first conversation, then like, that's the other thing too. Like depending on the severity, again, if it's illegal or moral, of course they need to be let go. That needs to be addressed immediately. But if it's something where this is like the first time you're addressing it with them, you've not only got to be clear, but then you got to say, okay, what can we do to fix this? Mm-hmm. And the reason I emphasize we is because you want them to know that you care and that you're willing to set them up for success. And so, you know, they might have a solution, listen to that solution. You might, they might not have a solution. And that's where you got to say like, all right, why don't we try? And these are a couple of things that I've done before. I've said to people, why don't we just give you the next couple of weeks off just for you to sort things out. And then maybe you can come back with a fresh mind. Or I say, why don't we just create a system where if something comes up where you're going to be late or need to address it, you can text me or call me on my personal number. Sometimes it's a matter of I had one person who said, the reason I've been messing up is because I don't have a great system for email and printing out materials. Because they weren't showing up prepared and, you know, they're always asking me to print out materials. And I was like, all right, well, why don't I help you by getting the materials ready a week ahead of time so that when you show up, you know, this week, I have next week's materials ready for you to serve. You know, and granted, you're trying to, you know, make adjustments to help them, but it's giving them the benefit of the doubt in the situation. So I would say, definitely try to be creative in how you guys can work together in that situation. And then give it a test run, you know, give it a test run. Because then when you go back, and if it isn't rectified, if it isn't fixed, you can then say, well, we tried this. And listen, I'm not sure this is really working out. Maybe we just don't have you serving in the right place. Maybe, sometimes we serve for a period and then it kind of loses its love. And then you talk about that with the volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're obviously talking about a process here. So when we talk about it, this is not just one meeting, right? You know, this is right. Multiple, clearly it's becoming multiple meetings. You know, and I think that's important to recognize that this takes time and it should take time. And whether you have to fire a volunteer or even just correct a volunteer, like that's really what we're talking about here, firing, but it's really correcting. It's changing behavior and maybe moving them if you need to, as you had suggested, Chris. And I think in terms of the solution piece, I want to bring my creative juices to coming up with a solution, but I don't want to take the monkey off their back though, because it is still there.
Right.
And so, you know, really giving them time to come up with the solutions so that they can own the solutions. Because if it's just a solution that's handed to them by me, then are they taking ownership of it and are they really going to do that? Or do we give them the creative license to come up with solutions? So yes, do I think we need to guide volunteers and give them some solutions on the way? Absolutely, of course.
Right.
But allow them the opportunity first. And you mentioned, but allow them the opportunity first to really come up with it, because the issue, it affects your ministry, but the issue is them, the volunteer, they've got some behavior concerns. And so they need to own up to that and they need to come up with ways to change their own behavior.
Right.
Because you and I, Chris, can't change anyone else's behavior except our own. And so we want to develop our team of leaders to take that ownership.
Right. No, you're right. They've got to own the problem or else they're never going to fix it. So that's definitely the case. And I would even like end it with saying like, well, you know, let's just check in a couple of weeks later, see how everything's going, yeah. You know, and that way they've got a plan check in mm-hmm. and it's not so much like, oh, I'm going to see Chris again because I'm in trouble. You know, it's kind of like, hey, we've got 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're just going to check in with one another. And then that's where you can just say like, all right, listen, this isn't working out, or hey, I've seen a huge improvement. Keep it going. You know, let's keep moving in that right direction. But let's move it to, all right, that final kind of like goodbye. It's not working out. Let's talk about where you've seen it go wrong before, John.
Oh man. I'm not sure I have a good example, quite honestly, to share.
I should say, where have you heard it go wrong before? Because I can't imagine it going wrong. Like letting someone down, I mean, is almost like a pleasure from John Rinaldo.
Oh, yeah,
because so,
right.
He's so smooth at it. So.
No, not at all. This conversation makes me nervous just thinking about it. I don't know. There's nothing really coming to mind at this point in time, because the reality is like so many of us, including myself, really avoid the conversation. And so I have more stories of it going wrong because we don't say anything, you know, and I don't want to go into that because I think that's a different podcast in and of itself as well. So I'm not sure I have anything to add about what it seems like going wrong looks like.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, well, I would say like where it goes wrong is the fact that you give them too many chances, right? Or that, again, you muddle it up by saying like, hey, we love you, you're such a great person, but we're going to have to let you go. Because then it's kind of like, you know, it's the whole like, it's not you, it's me sort of thing. And this isn't just working out. And like, never say it's you, it's not you, it's me. But I think you can acknowledge and just say like, listen, this is just not a right fit. I just don't think that this is working out in the way that it has. It's nothing against you as a person. But I just don't think that this is the right ministry for you to serve in, and this is not the right fit for you to serve in. So what that means, and explain to them what that means too, that you love them as an individual, that you're not kicking them out of the church, that you're still going to say hello to them, and you're not going to give them, you know, a dirty stare every time you see them, but that just serving in your ministry or in your area is just not right for them. And that if they need assistance in discerning another ministry, like maybe you have resources to help them do that. Don't promise them that you'll plug them into another ministry, because because there are some people who this might sound wrong because God calls us all to serve, but there are some people that I have a hard time figuring out where they do serve in ministry. And so, and I know I've been guilty of this where I've said like, hey, it's not going to work out here, but maybe we'll plug you into children's ministry, thinking like, oh no, the children's director is going to be so upset at me that I'm sending this person over. Or like, hey, you'd be really great at tech ministry. I know you burnt down our tech booth, but you know, you'd be really good at tech ministry. No, I mean, so like, don't promise them that they can serve somewhere else, especially if you haven't talked to another coworker. But just say like, hey, this doesn't mean you can't serve. It doesn't mean that you can't be a part of our parish. We want you to be a part of our church. We believe that God has called you to serve. We just feel like that this is not the right fit for you, and wish them well, and pray with them, you know, pray with them about that as well. And so sort of, you know, be prepared though. Some people are going to react poorly. Some other people are just going to kind of maybe, have to take it in a little bit. There's going to be different responses and everything. And then do what, most people do after a hard day. Like my wife, who's in HR, if she has to fire someone, she comes home and she needs ice cream, you know, it's like, and that's totally okay. Cause you know, even if you're good at firing people, it doesn't mean that it's not hard. You know, it's a hard thing to do, even if it's a volunteer. Now, the nice thing about firing volunteers opposed to, employees is there's no paperwork, you know? So, or there's little paperwork, but basically just make sure that you, next time you see them, that you smile at them, that you say hello. Don't avoid them, because that might be the tendency, because it's awkward for a little bit, but try to be authentic and just ask them how they're doing and check in on them and everything like that, because they're human.
Yeah. You make that sound so nice and neat. You know, if that is the ideal, and certainly that's not always going to happen. And that's where it really gets messy, right? Because church is not just someplace I work or someplace I volunteer, right? Like, it is a personal part of my life and my reality and who I am, and that faith is so important. So so we have a lot personally, as a volunteer, we have a lot personally invested into our faith and into our church. And so, you know, this can be devastating, right? This, you know, that and that it's a big deal. And this is why I think the preemptive steps that we talked about are so important, because the reality is, the goal is that hopefully you never have to fire anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and those preemptive steps, I think we need to spend some time doing those preemptive steps, you know, and really flushing out that process of what that looks like. Bring them on board well, give them the training that they need, et cetera. Listen to them, meet with them regularly, give them feedback on a regular basis, right? All those types of things that help, so that hopefully you never get to this point, because, you know, it's going to be awkward. It's just going to feel awkward, and just realize that when you're going to fire anybody, it's going to be awkward. But I would say, as we get ready to wrap up here, it's like, I think we have a tendency to talk more than we need to. And so if we have to fire a volunteer, I think we just need to be concise, say it, and not keep rambling on, right? Which I've certainly know that I've done, right? I'll keep rambling on when I have something difficult to tell someone. And that's not helpful for anybody. And you don't need to lengthen this experience. You need to shorten this experience. And so find a way to end it and end it quickly.
Yeah. I mean, for the last almost 30 episodes, John's been trying to fire me, and he hasn't had that opportunity because he keeps talking. But
I'm afraid of conflict too. So.
He's afraid of conflict, even though we're literally thousands of miles apart. But anyway, no, the relationship's good here. And actually, John, I thank you, because I'm in a much better mood now than I think I started this podcast.
Oh, yay.
I don't know. Maybe it's the subject of firing volunteers that makes me feel better. But
that brings you joy?
Brings me joy. No. but in all seriousness, I will acknowledge this is hard. It's painful. But it's so much less painful. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but it's less painful than the alternative, which is avoiding that volunteer, allowing him or her and their behavior to take over the ministry, to burn you out and to leave you jaded in your church experience. And that's the truth. That's the alternative. And I think that's why we see so many men and women leave ministry, is because of poor management of the people that they're surrounded by. And if there's a healthy organization and healthy volunteer culture, you might never have to fire a volunteer, because you're going through the process correctly with reviewing them and hiring them. And as John pointed out, which I think is the big takeaway, of constant communication, you know, like that this should not be the first conversation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, great topic, hard topic to talk about. But if you guys have questions or about this topic or about any topic, shoot us an email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. You can always get in touch with us one-on-one by reaching out to us on social media. You can find me at Chris R. Wesley on Twitter and Instagram, at Christopher Wesley on LinkedIn, as well as Marathon Youth Ministry on Facebook, and my website, marathonyouthministry.com. John, yep. Where can they find you?
John Rinaldo on Twitter, John M. Rinaldo on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, LinkedIn, love it, and at my website, johnrinaldo.com.
Awesome, awesome. And visit our website, thechurchpodcast.org. And we thank you guys so much for joining us. Leave your reviews on iTunes. Let us know how we're doing. We need affirmation. but anyway, thank you guys. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.